have a quorum. Thank you all. We weren't sure we were gonna make it tonight. Could I have a motion for Mrs. Butcher to participate remotely and be able to be a part of this meeting?
I'll make a motion as such.
Second.
I think Mrs. is.
Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Mrs. Butcher, you are officially a part of the meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. First on the agenda is citizen comments. Okay, Mr. Sundermurphy?
I think I'm just commenting on the public hearing.
Okay.
Oh, well, you just, okay, because you said I'm on the regular one, so.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Sorry.
Did you want to sign the other one so it'll be official? This was on the agenda.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry. Thought I was paying attention.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, no. Approval of the April 2nd minutes.
So move.
Second?
I'll second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, thanks. Minutes approved. We will open up the public hearing for the sign ordinance. Okay, now, Mr. Sundermurphy?
And that is before, will you be referring to this handout?
I will be.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, you should all have a copy of the matrix that I prepared in your packet. And I'm sorry, I didn't have time to really prepare what I was gonna say tonight, but I'll try to get through this quickly. I still have a few concerns, and I only have a personal stake in a few of these items, but I'm concerned about how these things are gonna affect other people in town. The first victim of the feather flag ban is gonna be Central Pace, which provides healthcare to elderly people at Hambrier Plaza. They use feather flags to direct people up to the facility because it's hidden up on the hill. I don't think we'd want to do that, and my recommendation is, if we're concerned about feather flags in the CBD, that we stick to only banning feather flags in the Central Business District. A lot of good changes have taken place regarding the non-commercial speech regulations that you have before you. I still think there's an issue, though, where commercial speech sometimes gets treated more favorably than non-commercial speech, and I think that's an issue with the Constitution. And so I would I'd recommend removing the 20 square foot limit that currently still exists for non-commercial speech. The first victims of the 20 square foot limit for window signs is gonna be Hardee's and McDonald's. We know for a fact that they already violate that 20 square foot limit. I don't think there's a problem there. And we already have a limit in your ordinance that says the window sign can't be larger than the window. I think that's sufficient, and I recommend getting rid of that 20 square foot limit before we cause problems with some of our businesses in town. I believe a 3-square-foot limit is too small for illuminated window signs. We already have a ban on things that flash or scroll or change. I think that's sufficient. I think banning mere illumination can create a problem. As you've noticed, Gilman Law Office leaves their lights on at night and they leave their shade down, which lights up their window. You know, that's more than 3 square feet. Are we gonna go after the law office because they leave their lights on and illuminate their window? I think that's a problem. So I recommend just getting rid of that 3-square-foot limit and just sticking with the limit of the window size. I also have concerns about the cost of special use permits if someone needs an off-site directional sign. I think if we allowed something small, like one yard side size, like what we have already for Driscoll Funeral Home, I think that wouldn't get overwhelming. And that would avoid having to pay $500. And I'm also concerned about the requirement that you remove signs if the business has been closed for a couple years. I think we're in danger of losing some of our history in town. You know, there's several signs, especially in the Central Business District, that are historical. You know, it used to be an Army-Navy surplus store at the warehouse, and there's still signs there. Birch and Ogden sign would have to come down. So I recommend getting rid of the requirements to remove things, too. And my time is up.
I didn't.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't know I had one.
Anybody else that didn't sign? Okay, then we will close the public hearing. All right. Ms. McGuffin, would you like to make any comments?
Yes, please. So I'd like to go over a few things. Kelly Kemp, who is the town attorney, and I had spent a significant amount of time on the ordinance in the last few weeks just to really make sure that we felt like everything was defensible from just a constitutional point of view and so forth. And I want to first have just a little bit of a philosophical conversation with you based on something that Mrs. Kemp and I discussed, and it actually really did help me to understand this a little bit better or to give it some different context. I think sometimes when we talk about the same things all the time, it all starts to kind of run together. So the Supreme Court case that regulates this idea of you can't, or states that you can't regulate content on a sign is better known as the Reed decision. And it states that, you know, localities have broad authority to regulate signage by district, by circumstance, by those types of things, but you can't regulate by what the content of the sign is. And so I've struggled over and over again with trying to think about, okay, what does that mean? You know, you can kind of regulate what the sign is for, but not what it says. And then I get kind of balled up with, you know, how do you know what it's for if you don't read what it says? But Kelly was talking about the use of the Reed decision in a noise ordinance, and this was in North Myrtle Beach. And North Myrtle Beach had a noise ordinance that specifically regulated the playing of amplified music. And it treated amplified music differently than other kinds of noise. So if you had a PA system, it might be one standard. If you had amplified music, it might be another. So there were just all these different standards. And where they got in trouble was not with the idea that amplified music was treated differently than other types of noise. Where they got in trouble is that they had a separate noise standard for amplified music with obscene or vulgar lyrics. And that was the content part. And the court actually cited Reed and said, you know, the community was correct legally in terms of its ability to regulate amplified music, but once they distinguished between the type of music, now you had a problem from a legal point of view, and they cited Reed as saying you can't have content-based discrimination. So if it was opera played at 80 decibels, it would have been fine because there was no hint of vulgarity, but if it was rap played at 80 decibels, you may have a problem. And that actually helped me start thinking a little bit more about some of this sign information. So if we go to, I don't think Kelly really, she didn't have any major points on the beginning part of the ordinance. So all of that remains the same. I'm going to take you down to the temporary sign part. And actually, I'll pause for just a second on the way. So I think it's on page 17. It shows up as 3 of 11 on the bottom of the pages. If you go to that page, first, signs shall pertain to the property. Kelly recommended striking everything essentially except for the last sentence. She says off-premises signs. That is a term that is an understood definition. If we feel like we need to define it, we'll define it in our definitions section. But all we need to say is billboard and other off-premises signs are prohibited except as expressly permitted. And she's like, you can get rid of all these other things that distract you from the point of you can't do it unless we say you can. So that was a change that she made earlier. And then in the code, and then if we go, I think, to the next page, we get to, I'm sorry, I'm a little slow, I'm trying to navigate on my temporary signage. Now, what Kelly would love, would make her attorney heart happiest, is if we just decided that temporary signage is temporary signage is temporary signage. From her point of view, that is the most legally defensible thing you could do, is you could just treat every single type of temporary sign the same and just say every property gets a certain amount of square footage of it. That's not really what y'all wanted to do. And so then Kelly and I spent time talking through each one of these, and I apologize, it's actually the first one is on the bottom of page 3 of 11. So let's talk about this one. Temporary signs where you have construction. This is saying while the building's under construction, you get up to 32 square feet. Now, to be clear here, this doesn't count as a content-oriented restriction because it's a circumstance. It's a thing that is occurring at a time, and during that time period, they get 32 square feet of sign frontage that's extra temporary square footage. And let's use the Presbyterian Church, for example, who's currently got a project going on, and I believe Jamerson Lewis has had a pretty good-sized banner up in front of the church where they are advertising that they're doing this project. Sometimes this temporary construction banner will say the name of the contractor. Sometimes it'll say, we're growing, our new fellowship hall is coming. But if the Presbyterian Church wanted to use that 32 square feet to say, we hope you come to church this Sunday and put their service times on it, there's nothing in this ordinance that would prohibit that. And so that's why that doesn't count as a content-oriented restriction. Am I making sense? I can't see y'all, so it's really hard for me.
So, could you repeat that again? I caught the part about the Presbyterian Church having Jamerson sign, the construction's underway there. Would you clarify, and that would be a temporary sign?
So that's allowed under this code.
Correct.
That during the time of construction, you get this extra temporary signage.
Correct.
And it's generally used by the contractor to, you know, essentially promote that they're the contractor on site.
Correct. But I didn't
Sometimes a business might use it, like say when McDonald's was doing their project, McDonald's might have used it to tell you what they were doing or when they were going to reopen.
Okay.
But the reason why this is not a content-based description is that this is a circumstance that's going on the property, and they could use that 32 square feet for whatever they wanted.
Okay, so what about the second part of the Presbyterian Church, put it in their putting up a sign for themselves that you had after?
So if they have a permanent sign for themselves, that's regulated elsewhere in the ordinance under the permanent signs.
Okay, gotcha.
But during this construction project, they could express their free speech rights on that 32 square feet. They could tell Jamerson Lewis, you can't use that 32 square feet. We're going to use that 32 square feet, and we're going to advertise our daycare. Or we're going to ask people to come to church, or we're going to express some other opinion. And so that's why it's not content-based. It's just based on what's happening on the property at the time.
Okay.
So when Kelly and I talked about that, she was like, okay, well, that's defensible. Okay, so we left that alone. So then moving on to the next page. I'm trying to reorient my screen. She didn't have any issues with some of the, you know, we kind of continued in that vein. We fixed the yard sale signs. We didn't have challenges. She got a little concerned about special event signs, and she got a little concerned about just making sure that they don't address where the special event is, because then she felt like it started to get into a discriminatory item. So the special event sign just says displayed on private property with the permission of the property owner, says that they need to be removed within a time frame. and then gave a maximum square footage. Then window signs, I had that they were allowed in the commercial districts where there's a commercial use, and that I had with commercial speech. She got rid of that because she said it's discriminatory. What if, somebody who's in the commercial district wants to use their window signs to express their free speech rights, they should be able to do so. So that's where she has tweaked a little bit of the language. She eliminated the sentence that said window-mounted signs with commercial speech are not allowed in any residential district, because she said it's already covered under the prohibition for off-premises signs. So if somebody were advertising a business with their window-mounted sign in a neighborhood, that's an off-premises sign and it's not legal. So she's like, it's unnecessary language. So having gone through that, she felt pretty comfortable that those things were okay. Again, her favorite thing for this temporary sign section would simply be that you just say everybody can have this many square feet of temporary signs. So that would be her favorite. But I told her that the Planning Commission had put a lot of work into thinking about these distinctions, and I did not think that that was a change that y'all would want to make. But of course, we're always open to make whatever changes you want to make. She did not have any other changes on the other items that were really of any consequence. I think that was really the section she was concerned about. Other than that, I think she's fine. I will say one thing in regard to Mr. Sunamurthy's comments about the non-conforming signs and about taking signs down when a business leaves and so forth. That is a thing that I've added into your ordinance as a kind of a best practice that's used in a lot of other ordinances to prevent from having sign issues where you have a lot of businesses leaving and maybe you had signs that were non-conforming and now those signs are enormous and you can't get rid of them because you don't have anything in your code to allow you to do so. That's not really the case with us. I don't think there's very many non-conforming signs. So once the Planning Commission decides they want to deliberate on this, it's not going to give staff any heartburn if you decide you don't want to do some of those things with signs. So those are things that were really brought up. I just want to clarify, I did not bring those up as a we have a problem kind of issue. I brought it up as a this is what kind of the, most well put together sign ordinances include. So that's all I have. My recommendation to you, given the fact that, you do have a quorum, but you're still a little light, is that we take some time to look at this before the next meeting and then really have y'all deliberate on it at the next meeting and make kind of your final decisions and then send it on the plan to the council at that meeting.
So we really do not need to take any action on it tonight.
No, you've held your public hearing, and you can then, at the next meeting, have your deliberation on it.
Okay.
When I'm there, when you have more planning commissioners in person, and then make your decision at that meeting. You do not have to do that at the same meeting you've had your public hearing.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I have one comment.
Okay.
Is it possible that at the next meeting when we go over everything, can we do it like we did the previous issues and just do it one at a time and come to a decision instead of trying to discuss everything at one time? Just take one issue, figure out how we want to handle it, and then move on to the next issue.
Yeah, I'd be happy to handle it however you want. I think what I would love is, do you want to base that? I mean, obviously, the only comments you've gotten on this ordinance from the public are from Mr. Sundermurthy. Do you want to go through his issues, or did you want to go through the ordinance kind of page by page?
I would prefer we could address each of his, quickly go through his and decide if it's something that we just want to move on with or that, we agree in some way, shape, or form and want to tweak it a little bit. And I think we need to address not the whole ordinance, but the ordinance that maybe there might be a little bit of legal issue with.
Okay.
Have we not addressed the legal issues?
I think the only question, I mean, I feel like Kelly felt like after we had talked about those that we were on the safe side of things, that we were not basing it on content, which is the danger zone. So when you base it on, that's the red flag. And so she really went through the ordinance and deleted anything she thought could get us in trouble in terms of being content-based. So that was why, you know, when I said, you know, it was commercial speech, she's like, that's got to go, because if they want to use that for non-commercial speech, they need to be allowed to do that. It's based on the use and the zoning. So I think, you know, she feels like this is legally defensible. Her only point is that the most legally defensible thing is to make it as broad as possible. But like I said, that's not what y'all had wanted to do in the past, so I did not make that level of change.
Okay. Do you have any particular issues, Ms. Butcher, with the legality of any of it?
No, I guess maybe what we just need to talk about, like, you know, I don't want us to pass something that's going to come back and we're going to have to, like, do it again, or that there could be legal issues that, you know, just because I don't think everybody can be happy with everything in the ordinance. I think it's just too complicated. But I think we should try and make everything as legal as possible, so, you know, we're not having to defend that.
Well, I think that's what the attorney has done.
Okay.
Is that correct, Ms. McGovern?
She feels pretty confident in terms of what we're looking at. And okay. I think the thing I would tell you is that there is no ordinance that can be written that can be, you know, safe from legal challenge, because people always have the right to challenge an ordinance legally. So there isn't anything that's a guaranteed safe thing. Her, you know, she feels as the attorney, she has to tell you what the absolute safest option is. And so the safest option is to make it the most broad category. But she also thinks that what we have is defensible.
Okay. All right. So next meeting, we will bring any discussion that we have on any points of it back before we vote.
Voted to have a second comment period. Okay. They voted to have a second comment.
Thank you all very much. Thank you.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there with y'all tonight.
Oh, well, we understand. Just get well.
Thank you.
Any concern for the commissioners?
No.
Okay.
At the last meeting, y'all voted to add a second comment period on there. I know it's not on your agenda tonight, but if you want to do that.
Any comments from anybody? Go ahead.
Yeah. Talking about temporary signage and illegal signage being used throughout the town. I'm up and down the streets all the time, and there's some signs being put out next to the circle advertising business.
And like car, like a siding wash or something?
No, it's for services. It's for construction services.
Oh.
Okay. And, you know, it's enough for the, already knows about ordinance about the vehicles and having your signs on your vehicle and being licensed and so forth. Well, if you got three or four vehicles there and trailers that has your signs and says what it does, why are you sticking signs up on the sidewalk? I think it's not needed. I think it needs to be addressed, and we need to take them off.
I think they have been addressed in the past, and they probably just put back up.
Yeah, well,
you can remove them, can't you?
They have been removed.
I will go off and simply, let's just pick them up. They're not supposed to be there.
Yes, well, not, but anyway, I just, you know, I'm with you about moving along with the sign things. You know, certain things we're still discussing, but that right there, why is allowed one place and not allowed another? And if we're doing that to advertise our business,
right? No, I think that's not supposed to be there.
Okay.
So
I'm just saying, you know, let's take a ride.
Put that on the agenda for somebody to go pick up the signs. Okay, Mr. Sundberg.
Thank you. I think what Mr. Thomas brought up is already not allowed. We don't allow off-premises signs.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what I'm saying, it's illegal.
It becomes an issue where we have complaint-based enforcement, and maybe nobody has made a complaint on those signs yet. But yeah, I think our ordinance already prohibits that.
It does.
I
This is an official complaint.
I did want to bring up, I'm still concerned about content-based discrimination. The paragraph you currently have, and non-commercial speech is my passion. That's what got me involved with the sign ordinance discussion in the first place. And the ordinance still reads, signs that contain exclusively non-commercial speech. So you're identifying a certain type of speech, and then you're putting a limit on it. It can't be larger than this. I think that's still problematic. My suggestion was to eliminate the limitation altogether for non-commercial speech. You know, that's what the First Amendment was written for. That's like religious messages, political messages, you know, personal opinions about things. There's several signs in town that say things like hate has no home here, you know, things like that. There's a big love sign on somebody's house down Depot Street. That's non-commercial speech, and that's the one that's most protected under the First Amendment. So I still think it's a problem that we identify non-commercial speech and then we put a 20-square-foot limit on it. While you can have bigger signs if it has a different type of content on it. You know, you could advertise your business with a giant sign, but if you have concerns about what's going on in Washington, D.C., it has to stay at 20 square feet. I think that's still problematic constitutionally.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. All right. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?